is 1:30 and Commissioners Court is called to order. We will have, since we have several ministers in the house today, Reverend Scott will give us the prayer. Mr. Arnold, if you don't mind, would you lead us in the pledge? Reverend Scott, the prayer, please.
Lord God, in all things we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With the cuts and dollars, and the clerk asked me to move to one item out of order in the county clerk, and that would be item B. It says, consider and possibly approve, execute, receive, and file a primary joint resolution authorizing the joint primary contract between the Jefferson County Democrat Party chair and the Republican Party chair and the county clerk for the conducting of a joint primary and runoff in 2012. Can I get a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Got a motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Clerk, you have that out the way. Okay, Mr. Adams. Would you come to the mic, please? Mr. Jim, would you go to the mic also? We get both of your chance.
I just wanted to say this is a very historical moment. It's a very special privilege for me to be here today and be a part of this moment. And it is a time when the parties have come together and going to hold a joint primary. And historically, it's never occurred. It should save the county some money and should benefit the voters. So we're looking forward to this, and doesn't necessarily mean that it'll always happen, but it's going to happen this time, and we're very appreciative for the court taking this action today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks.
I'd just like to echo Mr. Adams' sentiments, my appreciation to the court. Thank you, guys. And Ms. Guidry, the marvelous work that you've done in making this happen. Everybody at the county, I think it's going to be a great boon to the taxpayers of Jefferson County. I think it's going to set a wonderful precedent for the way that we conduct elections in the future. So my hat's off to everybody. We're just pleased to be a part of it. Thank you.
Okay. And while we're at the county clerk's items, we are tabling item A. But there's a speaker, Reverend Scott. If you don't mind, would you come to the podium? He would love to speak to this item, and we're letting him speak to it, even though we're taking it off the agenda because they traveled here not knowing.
Good afternoon. I have several pastors here. Would you please stand? We're here to speak on this issue of redrawing the lines for District 8. Thank you, brothers. The issues that we have and we're concerned about is that how it dilutes the strength of our community, the black community of Port Arthur. I do understand that the precincts that was initially removed, precinct 51, 52, 54, 55, 57, 58, 59, and 81, from my understanding that it has been agreed that these precincts would be placed back into precinct 8. But the issue I have is, from what I understand, Mr. Bass's task was to redraw the lines to bring equity to the area. At the end of the day, we're looking at Precinct 2 in Port Arthur with numbers somewhere around 38,000, 39,000, somewhere in there. And at the end of the day, even replacing back what you had, you're looking at 19,000, 38,000, and 19,000. If the task is to redraw the lines to bring equity to the area, 38,000 and 19,000, if you do the math and do what should be done to bring equity to District 8, it would make a better situation. The other issue I have, respectfully, brothers, is that this action was taken on the 5th. It was on the 9th that the judge was informed of what the action is to look over the new lines, and it was only discovered this week that the actions that was taken takes the judge out of his seat, because one of the precincts that was removed is a precinct that he lives in, Precinct 59. Judge came to this court to speak in that regard, and I believe that it is a great disrespect on this court's part. You're talking about this man's livelihood, talking about the seat he owed, and he sit here, signed up to speak, and at the end of the day, he could not speak because the item was not on the agenda. But it affects his livelihood. He finds out about it after it is done. We're here to say that we want to make sure that things are done right and equitable. I understand that in this process of what we do, that I don't deal with personalities, I deal with issues. And so at the end of the day, we need to do what's right for Precinct 8 and for Precinct 2. If there has been an imbalance in the past, for whatever reason, because Precinct 8 was created to be a black held position by the Justice Department some years ago. But if there was an imbalance, it is an opportunity to make it right. Since you're redrawing the numbers, someone has to tell Mr. Bass what to do. I personally don't believe that Mr. Bass was given carte blanche to see what you can do, make this conform with the voter's office and make this conform with what the state says. I believe someone is given instructions on what to do. There has been an effort to undermine Precinct 8 ever since an incident that happened under a previous judge when an officer of the law was killed, and that court would not issue a capital murder warrant because they simply said, let's wait to see what the facts are. They went to another court, they got their issue for the warrant, but ultimately the man was convicted of what the first judge said it would be. And because of that, you've got many police agencies now who boycott this office. They write tickets in his district and take them to another court. I know, because I have received a ticket. My problem was I opened my mouth too soon. And these are issues that have to be addressed. We can close our eyes and say these things will happen, but there has been an effort to undermine this office for a long time. If there are plans to dissolve this office, it needs to be addressed now. It shouldn't be something covert or under the cover. We need to deal with what's right. I'm not a politician. I'm just a preacher, and I believe right is right and wrong is wrong. And if respect is going to be restored, it has to start from the top. And we have to look at those numbers of cases that's filed. I do believe that people have a course of action with that, you know. And
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Let me cut you there, and just to answer part of your question. The court, every 10 years, by law, is designed to rebalance the commissioner's precincts, okay? That's the task, and that was the task at hand. Those things that occurred, we found out later. But the task at hand is to rebalance the commissioner's precinct. We will have within the next few days, probably by the 27th, a meeting to deal with this and make sure. I wanted to give you a chance to express those things, but the truth of the matter is that is the task at hand.
All right. Now, ultimately, Judge Bo, is effort is not to just put back what was taken, but to bring equity across the board. You got 37,000, you got 19,000. So if you're going to take the time to do it right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Judge, may I say something?
Yes.
First of all, Pastor, I appreciate it. I think we've had several conversations. And knowledge of what you just said came to us after the fact. I agree with you on respect. Respect goes both ways. I'm an old-time person. Respect goes both ways. Issues that are pertaining to Precinct 8 court needs to be addressed through writing. What you're saying, you raised about 5, 6, maybe 8 issues. I've never seen them in print. I've had conversations about them with the judge. Same conversation when I was a city councilman. I fought it, and the same conversations I'm having now. I've never seen it in writing addressed to the court personally. Maybe the court has. The direction that Mr. Bass was given was not given from this seat. Now, I can speak for this seat. The charge you said that Mr. Bass was charged to redraw the JP line was not given from this seat. I had no conversation with Mr. Bass about JP precincts. Second of all, those five, six, seven precincts that were taken from Precinct 8 was, from my understanding, and the judge was notified last Tuesday at 3:45, was by mistake. Whether you say it was by, it was intentionally done or not, I did not know anything about it. It was done by mistake. That's the word I got from you, Ms. Carroll, Ms. Gidry, didn't I? That's the word I got from the judge. Now, as far as the rules of decorum, Mr. Wiggins, you may not know, maybe Mr. Rugg, when someone is on the agenda to speak, what's the rules, Mr. Rugg? Yes, sir. Right. So the issue you spoke about, respecting someone that's sitting in our, we have people here all the time that want to speak. If there's an agenda item, and I've been in politics less time than some people, but I understood that. If there's an agenda item pertaining to what you want to speak on, I can give permission, anyone up here can give you permission through the judge to speak on it. You cannot just walk in here and hand out a paper and say, I want to speak on this. It's just not, and that's common sense to me. So what I'm saying is, wasn't a lack of respect, because I know you question respect. That's the rule, Mr. Rugg, as he stated, and it's been there before I got here. It was like that on the city council. We'll be here 5 and 6 hours, 12 hours, if we let anybody that want to speak, sitting in the audience, just even though they may be elected officials or citizens. Personally, you know, if a citizen want to speak, I let him speak. I don't want to be here 12 hours. I was on the city council, Port Arthur, and they got along. If there's an item on the agenda, so it wasn't a lack of respect. I want to clear that up. It wasn't a lack. It was the rules of procedure. Now, as far as I want to make it very clear, I had nothing to do with those precincts. It was a mistake, as I was told, and I'm going to reiterate that. I did not know anything about it at the time, and I didn't know about it till after. Some things happen.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
As it relates to the agenda and the rules, is there any other thing that's extends to that to say that they can get permission to speak? Can they get permission from a commissioner to speak?
This is how you get permission. Mr. Rugg stated, if it's an agenda item, like I did with you, gave you the courtesy and explained to the court that the item was going to be pulled, but since you guys had come, we were going to extend the courtesy for you to speak because the item exists on the agenda. If it did not exist on the agenda and you guys would have just come, we couldn't open the door for you to speak. That is a standing. We passed that some time ago, to be honest. When I first got on the court, I think it was.
Okay, then.
And any changes to Precinct 8 would affect Commissioner Precinct 3?
Well, those lines can be drawn independently.
Excuse me, sir?
I mean, as far as JP Court and the commissioner's lines, those lines don't necessarily have to run
correct
together.
Right. But we're mandated by a state statute to correct the imbalance between commissioners.
Okay.
If I'm not correct, Mr. Rugg, is that state statute on any other department?
It's actually federal law.
Federal law. But mm-hmm. any other JP constables, is that mandated? Thank you. Thank you.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, ultimately, how, you know, as far as what I understand, what's being held up is those little pocket areas. And one of the areas of concern is an area that, you know, that will affect the fishing, the policing of game and wildlife. And so, to dip down into an area because certain people don't want to go to his court does not do that court any justice, because you've got game wardens and state troopers and county sheriffs who don't want to write a ticket to his court.
Judge,
so to I'm dip into that area to say, well, this will give, they can, to give this to another court and to not admit the fact that there was a problem that needs to be straightened up does not help the situation.
And we appreciate you for your time, and we will take all those things under advisement, but we will follow the law from the federal side in doing those things.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
We will be back.
Okay. Now moving along to the purchasing agenda. It says, A, award the Jefferson County Regional Marine Security Center to ALCO in the amount of $2,396,000. American Recovery and Reinvestment Act Port Security Grant. B, approve and execute and receive and file the renewal of term contract for Gray Limestone, is commonly known as 610 Base, for Jefferson County for the period of December 29, 2011 to December 28, 2012. C, consider and approve, execute, receive, and file the contract for pipeline replacement for Kinder Morgan and DD6 construction with Boom Smith. This is a round one funding funded project. D, consider and possibly approve change order number one, the bridge replacement of Cragen Road Bridge at North Fork of Taylor's Bayou with APAC Texas Incorporated to switch from lime treatment of the subgrade of 6 inches to the use of crushed concrete 4 inches. There is no change to the contract amount, and it remains at $801,907.09. We have those items, and can I get a motion to accept?
Mm-hmm.
There's a motion and a second. There's a second from Commissioner Weaver. Any questions? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving right along to county commissioners. We will be tabling the tax abatement policy, right, Mr. Fred Jackson? We're going to table the... Okay, thank you. B, consider and possibly approve exempting the following groups from paying for security during the scheduled events for the year of 2012. Dispute Resolution Center, Jefferson County Bar Association, the Jefferson County Democrat Party, Jefferson County Republican Party, the Jefferson County Libertarian Party, Jefferson County Green Party, Election Schools, Jefferson County Clerk Office for Meetings and Training related to elections, Jefferson County Coalition of Victims of Crime, the Family Services, and the Jefferson County Deputies Constables Association. The security expense will be paid by budgeted funds. C, consider and possibly authorize the county judge to execute a memorandum of understanding between Jefferson County and Family Services of Southeast Texas Incorporated. D, receive and file the oath of office and statement of appointed official of commissioner Ken Duhorn, Mr. Jim Rich, Rick Lewis, Paul Beard, and Joe Johnson for the Sabine Nature's Navigation District. I think the judge has sworn those guys in already. E, consider and possibly authorize the county judge to execute a disaster recovery non-entitlement grant contract. It's formerly the TDRA contract, and amendment number 5. F, consider and possibly approve out-of-state travel for Ms. Barbara Evans to attend the Extension Education Association meeting in Lake Charles, Louisiana, December the 22nd, 2011. There's no cost to the county. And that was an amendment. It is G, consider and possibly approve authorizing the county judge to execute a tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Pandora Methanol LLC. This is a group that has purchased the property formerly owned by Eastman, and they are will bring 80 new jobs to our county. So I would ask for a motion on those items. We got a motion and second. Motion by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Weaver. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Moving right along to the auditor's item. Regular county bills, check number 361491 through check number 361708. I think that's all for the auditor. Can I get a motion? Motion, second. Got a motion from Commissioner Senegal and second by Commissioner Weaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving right along. Juvenile Probation Department. Consider and possibly approve a resolution granting permission for submission of application for the Juvenile Accountability Block Grant for the period of 9/1/2012 through 8/31st of 2013 in the amount of $20,947 and a cash match of $2,327.44. The cash match will be made up by probation fees and no cost to the county. Can I get a motion on that item?
So
and Commissioner Sim, can I get a second? Mr. Commissioner Weaver, is there any questions? All in favor say aye. The Sheriff Department. Consider and possibly execute and receive and file agreement for the Jefferson County Sheriff Office to continue participating in the final year of the Law Enforcement Officers Agreement Program for October 1, 2011 to September 30, 2012. This is a program that we are currently participating in, but the final year is a lower amount. Can I get a motion for that item? Got a motion for Commissioner Weaver and a second by Commissioner Arnold. Is there any questions? All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That concludes our agenda. We had scheduled for a meeting in January, but I think that will change, right, Mr. Fred?
Ask that we post notice for a meeting next Tuesday, December the 27th.
Okay. December 27th. We now have a opportunity for business from elected officials. I think Mr. Shane Howard has some information he wanted to give the public.
Thank you, Commissioner. I've included for each of you a letter here. I'm sorry for the late notice on it, but this affects the redistricting issues that are going on. And obviously, the court just signed a new order on Friday. And so we tried to get through that, review it, and pull the key information that everybody needs out of that. And so this is included in the letter, as well as a copy of the actual court order. There's five major things that we pull out of this, and this will be released to the press already. I've already updated the Beaumont Enterprise, but we're trying to get something, you know, put together for everybody. Number one, the both parties' political primaries have been moved to April the 3rd. What this means is that early voting is going to take place from March 19th to the 30th of next year. Any runoffs that come out of those primaries will take place on June 5th. Military ballots will have to go out by February the 17th, and applications for mail ballots, and this is important for your constituents, those can first be made beginning on February 11th. If we end up having to make changes to the election precinct boundaries, our voting boxes, which you've already voted on, and it's going to be submitted to the Department of Justice, but if the final redistricting plan changes any of those, which we have no idea, Commissioner's Court will be required to act on that prior to or on January 31st of next year. And so we'll hopefully have something by then, and then that'll be pushed back. They're suspending part of the Texas Election Code in order to allow the Commissioner's Court to make those changes and make that vote. Some other important things, there's new voter registration certificates. We send out new voter registration certificates by December 6th of each odd number year to active registrants. Obviously, we're not going to be able to send out accurate information. They've already moved the deadline once. Now they've moved it again in this court order to February 13th. Assuming that the courts get the new lines done in a timely manner and they don't extend the deadline further, we're working on the database already to take the things that we think will continue to be true, have that ready to go, and then plug in the things that become true whenever the redistricting is finalized. So we think that we shouldn't have any trouble in complying with that deadline, and hopefully it won't get changed again, or it'll give people time to know who they're going to be voting for, and quite frankly, for certain district-type candidates to know who they need to be campaigning to. Finally, there's a modified filing period for candidacy. Obviously, the first part of this closes today at 6 o'clock. They extended the deadline from the 15th to tonight at 6 o'clock. Filing will reopen in January at a later date to be determined by the court and will remain open until February 1st. Again, filing closes today until further notice by the court. And residency rules for Texas House and Texas Senate seats have not been suspended, but the parties are not allowed to reject an application with a residence that does not fall within the district that they apply for, because we don't quite know whether they'll be in the district or not. So candidates that file for the State House or for the State Senate will be allowed to amend, correct, or reapply up until February 1st or until whatever date that the court comes up with to correct their application. And there's some specific provisions in there that the political party chairs need to be aware of, is what candidates need to sign and things like that. So those are the big dates. The bottom line on residency is that any candidate for a district drawn type situation will need to be a resident of that district from February 1st until November 6th, which is a general election of next year. And we'll get this a little bit more out to the public. We've tried to spread it as much as possible, but I'm going to push this letter out to the public, and don't hesitate to call if you have questions.
We thank you for that information. Any questions from members of the court?
Would you provide the ministers a copy of this if you have any ready?
Absolutely.
Maybe one, and they can duplicate it, or if you have enough.
Yes, actually, I brought several copies. I'm also putting it all together, including the court order in electronic form, so that if you want to post it to your website or transmit it to people, you'll have that available after commissioner's court as well.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you.
Okay. Any information from any member of the court?
Judge, I'd just like to take a moment to wish everyone a very merry, merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous new year.
That's right. And remember the reason for the season. We thank you for coming, and God bless you. Merry Christmas.